And then 3, 2, 1. Wonderbra!
Yeah, we did it. We started recording.
Yeah, we started recording the best episode ever.
Shit, is this the best episode ever? It's so early to tell. But if anyone would know.
Yeah, who the fuck knows? It might be our worst episode ever. No, it can't be by default.
If anyone's hearing it, then it's not our worst episode
yeah.
ever.
Oh, God.
Poor Lee Red.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read at the Movies.
Yeah, Poorly Read at the Picture House. Get some popcorn, bring your mouse, bring a DVD player, plug it in. Then when you walk out, throw it in the bin, cause it's obsolete.
That was great. I love it. We're still solidly on track for best episode ever, I reckon.
Oh, God. What fucking film are we doing today, Thomas?
It's the fucking Devil Wears Prada.
Prada? Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah, just say it a bit higher. So you get the real authentic Scouse accent.
Devil Wears Prada.
Devil Wears Prada.
That's how they all talk up there, I reckon.
Come on, Mom, get your fucking money out. We need to go see Devil Wears Prada. Oh, God.
I wonder when we'll feel like we've milked that accent enough.
I can't imagine a time where we'd be bored of it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel close yet.
No, like, I get the same amount of joy out of it as I did the first time that we ever did it.
Yeah. When it was Hermione.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell, that feels like a lifetime ago now, doesn't it?
I know, it really does.
Bloody hell. Yeah. Oh, good old Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I hope that, like, you guys appreciate that because me and Tom have done, like, such intensive work on Harry Potter now that it's kind of, like, ruined it for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel like I can read Harry Potter again for a long time.
Yeah, like, I can't see me doing it anytime this decade, you know? So it's like...
Yeah.
Whereas you guys get to still fucking enjoy it, so we appreciate the sacrifice we've made.
Well, we might have ruined it for everyone listening as well.
That's true.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's pull them down with this ship, like yes. The Titanic did with all those people who would have survived but didn't.
Sure.
Because they got pulled down with the undertow.
Oh.
Caught in the undertow. Caught in the undertow.
Were you doing Linkin Park?
Yeah. Oh, God. They've become so numb because they're in the air. Now they're in the water. And the rich people don't care. They sailed away. All they want to do is get to New York. And it's high population of Jews.
There we go. Well, we don't need to do an episode on Titanic now. It's done.
Now I want to, so I can do my impression of the unsinkable Molly Brown. You know, okay. She's like the new money. It's like, we can't just leave those people there. They're like, if you don't fucking shut up, I'm going to throw you overboard. She's like, well then, I guess I'll keep my little mouth shut, won't I?
Well, there you go, you've done it now.
Yeah, the fighting boat sinks and Kate Winslet gets her jubblies out. That's all you yep. need to know. And they get drawn with charcoal.
Anyway, that's not the film we're talking about today.
No, we're talking about Devil Wears Prada. My
Devil
God.
Wears Prada.
Yeah, so I've seen this film more than I've seen any other film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When it came out on DVD, I literally watched it like every night for about 4 or 5 weeks, I think.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I just like had it on because it's such an easy, it's great, but it's such an easy film to watch.
Yeah. Definitely very, very easy to watch. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it very much.
Yes.
Even though it stars my worst enemy.
I like Anne Hathaway.
Oh, Tom, if there was one thing you could have said to ruin this.
She's like a sexy duck penguin.
No, she's not. She's like a fucking plague of things.
No, make a compelling
she's just
case.
Like a fucking inoperable cancer. That's what she is.
Fucking hell.
You just have to sit there and watch it as it slowly destroys everything in its path. Fucking her and her stupid fucking soppy eyes and her stupid face and her stupid acting skills. Just, ugh, I hate her so much.
Well, this is one of your things that I don't understand at all.
Just everything about her, actually. I remember back in like 2008, 2009, I joined a Facebook group called I Hate Anne Hathaway. Oh, God. Alas. So, yeah, fucking hell, let's crack on with our first opening montage.
Yes, which is all the fashionable ladies and one not fashionable lady.
Yeah, all the ladies putting effort into their appearance so they can face the day as brave, confident people, ready to take on whatever life throws at them. And then we see Anne Hathaway fucking roll out of bed, fall into a pile of dirty laundry, get up, dust the shit off her lapel, and run a soggy, cum-splattered hairbrush through her hair, step out, raise her arms, and go, "I am ready, world!"
And I, for one, can relate.
But yeah, she's getting all her shit ready to go for an interview at Elias Clark.
Yes.
She's going to meet with Sherry up at Human Resources.
Sherry up at Human Resources.
Yeah.
Who we never meet.
There's a deleted scene where they have an interview, I think.
Oh.
And she's like, oh, so basically, she literally says, like, so did we got a vacancy at Auto Universe or at Runway? And Alfred's like, well, I don't know anything about cars. I do get dressed every day, so I must know everything about fashion. And I'm like, you and your fucking hubris.
And they decided her hubris was just too much, so they deleted that scene.
So yeah, she fucking goes into the offices of Runway and we see Emily Blunt arrive.
Yeah, being a fucking massive bitch.
Yeah, like, she's like, Andy Sachs? She's like, yes, my name is Andrea Saxophone McCoffany. She's like, why saxophone? Well, if you stick a pipe in me and blow hard, I make a sound like that. It's a name I gave myself. She's like, well, Human Resources certainly does have an odd sense of humor. Yeah. So she gives her the rundown of Runway.
She does. But then she gets a call to say fucking Meryl Streep's on her way.
Yeah, she's like, fucking hell, Miss Facialist has ruptured a disc. Gonna come to work early. And so Emily's like, fucking hell, guys. And then Nigel, who is like a guest. Now there's a word for what he is. It's not a guest editor.
Gay.
Yes, he's a homosexual. Runway, we were recruiting for one because for some reason they had a shortage of them in the fashion industry. No, I think he's called editor at large, I think is what he is.
Editor at large.
Yeah, it's like you kind of get to just write. Oh, I can't remember the complete definition of it, but it's quite like a coveted position. But I think that's what he is. And so he comes into the office and he's like, who the fuck is that? And Emily's like, ugh, that's Anne Hathaway. We hate her, right? And he's like, yeah. And then she gets a call from Meryl Streep.
They're all so rude to her.
I know, it's kind of bad how they, just because she looks a mess, they're just like so dismissive.
I know, it really made me angry.
Well, like, I think that, like, not being funny, but even for someone who doesn't dress well, she still looks like an unusual mess for a job interview, I think.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she should have dressed up more than she did for a job interview. Yeah, but that doesn't excuse that level of rudeness, I don't think.
Yeah.
I know it's just like that's the language that they speak and she has to learn to assimilate and that's like the whole fucking journey, but still.
But yeah, everyone starts fucking panicking because Meryl Streep's on her way. So everyone's like, fucking put away your needles and your Birkenstock sandals. And other things that lesbians use.
Needles?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, cool. I'm learning.
They're all drug addicts, aren't they?
Fucking. Why else would they be lesbians?
Yes, dirty minxes putting their tongues in any fold they can find. The Elmo Street fucking shows up in the elevator.
Yes, and tells Emily Blunt. It's very useful that Emily Blunt's character's name is also Emily.
Yeah, I would find that a bit, like, confusing for me if my character was the same name as me.
Yeah.
Just if everyone was calling me by my real name, I think it would be jarring every time I heard it.
Mm.
It would take a bit of, like, I'd have to get accustomed to, you know. Anyway. Anyway, I was just like, I don't understand why it's so difficult for someone to confirm an appointment. Then he's like, well, I actually did. And she's like, your details of your incompetence do not interest me. Then she, like, rattles off a list of all the things she wants. She's like, I want a foot massage. I want an epidural. I want a haircut by a Navy officer with a pair of blunt shears. And I want a poodle that is trained to wake me up in the morning by bringing me the jar of peanut butter, unscrewing it itself.
And performing the epidural.
Yes. I don't want to feel him licking me out, you see.
If I can walk afterwards, Emily, I swear to God.
And she sees Anne halfway in, and she's like, who is that?
And she's all like, oh, well, new assistant, etc. And then Meryl Streep says that she will interview her, as Emily is clearly incompetent.
Yes. That's all. Then Andy... Do I want to call her Andy or Anne Hathaway?
Andy Hathaway.
Andy McBitch Tits Hathaway walks in, and then Meryl Streep's like, who are you? And she's like, my name's Andy. I come here to interview about this assistant job. And she's like, and what are you doing? No, she goes, what are you doing here? And then she says that. And then she goes,
you don't have any interest or knowledge in fashion. And she's all like, oh, well, I mean, I think that depends on. And she's like, no, that wasn't a question. That'll be all.
Yeah, like waves away. But Annie's like, no, do you know what? Yeah, you're right. I don't fit in here. I'm not skinny.
Yeah, even though she obviously is skinny.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's really weird. It's just like an odd. If that character is supposed to have some, like, chonk about her, which from some of the lines, it feels like she's supposed to, Anne Hathaway's a very weird casting choice.
I think it's like, I think that, because her size is like a very, like, normal slim girl size, but I think it's just, I think it's good at highlighting the discrepancy in standard between the fashion industry and, like, a real human being. Even though she's on, like, the very slim side of a real human being, you know?
Yeah, I suppose so. But then I feel like there's, you know, Emily Blunt's not, like, skinnier than her.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit, like, weird, I guess. But yeah, I think that kind of the fact that we can't see it is maybe just meant to illustrate how bonkers it is.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, she says, like, but I'm smart and I learn fast and I can spread peanut butter better than any poodle. And Meryl's just like,
Let's put that to the test, shall we? Mounts the desk.
Yeah, here's a jar, here's a pair of mittens, and here's a butter knife.
And here's a surface to spread it on. There are more folds in it than there used to be.
Yes, Emily, come here and bring the pegs. But then Nigel walks in just as that's happening, and Halfway's like, oh, thank you for your time, walks out. Then Nigel's like, are we doing a before and after I don't know about?
Yeah.
But Meryl Streep fucking likes her.
Yeah, she sees something in her.
Yes, her index finger. Yeah, she sends Emily down to bring Andy up, and then we cut to fucking Andy at the restaurant with her super lame friends and boyfriend with curly hair.
yes, boyfriend who in this first scene I was like, holy shit, that is a good looking man. And then he seems to get gradually less and less attractive as the film goes on.
I wonder if it's like his personality that does that.
I wonder if that, it might be, yeah.
Because literally, like, we were talking about it, as this film goes on, I was like, Andy, I think you're better off with him without all these people in your life.
Yeah.
Like, they're not supportive at all.
No, they're not.
Because she's like, I got a job at a fashion magazine. Then,
and they're all like, you?
Yeah. Was it a phone interview? And she's like, don't be a jerk. It's like, fuck off, Anne. But yeah, they're all like, oh, it's okay. She's like, oh, it's okay. I only got to work every year and then I'll be all cool and rich and famous. And then her boyfriend talks about his job because, you know, his restaurant that he's working at. He's like a, what is he? He's not a porter. He's a sous chef. That's it.
Yeah.
Fucking next day. She gets up and she has her first day at work and she has to get coffee for everyone. Hot yes. coffee. Hot black coffee.
Hot coffee. That jumper's hideous.
Yeah, she fucking gets in and then Emily's like, oh, where have you fucking been? And she's like, I was getting coffee. Then she's like, oh, you're meant to be here like 20 fucking minutes ago. And she's waiting for her coffee. So she fucking brings it to Miranda.
Yeah, but Miranda's going, Emily. And Nigel's like, she means you.
Yeah, and then Emily tells Andy about, like, the book.
Oh, yeah. She's like, you'll be doing all the assistant number two stuff, except for going to drop off the book. She only trusts... people she can be sure are not going to rifle through her collection of exotic sex toys to go and drop off the book.
Yeah, she doesn't want you opening the drawer, pulling out the fucking black mamba, waving it around like a fucking woo-woo stick.
Exactly. Slapping her twins in the face with it.
Like the little sex pervert that you are.
I know what you're up to.
Yes, I saw Princess Diaries. Yeah, she's like, yeah, this is like the mock-up of the fashion of the issue, and we take it to her every day once the editors have kind of finished their theme for the day so she can put notes on it. So yeah, until she knows you're not a total psycho, this will be my lovely job. And then yes. She gets called into Meryl's office. And Meryl's like, can you get these things for me? Can you see what Mark is doing in the pony? And I need 10 or 15 skirts from Calvin Klein. Blah, 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 blah.
And she's like, okay.
And then Miranda's like, oh, and Emily? And Andy's like, yes. She looks her down at her fucking orthopedic shoes. And she's like, that's all. Then Andy runs out.
Oh, yeah.
And then she puts on the high heels.
Grabs the high heels
that
Nigel tried to give her, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's like, I guess you were like a 4.5. And she's like, I don't need these. And she was like, and he was like, yeah, you do. Yeah. Everything about you is awful and terrible. Put these shoes on. But yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, yeah, obviously the film's going in pretty hard on look how badly she, like, sticks out.
Yeah.
But she does, it is, like, a little bit. I mean, I think I could do better than that.
Yeah, it's bad on a level that I'm surprised that, it's like, it just doesn't seem to match her personality either.
No. I think that the film's maybe just a little bit heavy-handed with it.
Yeah.
With giving us the... you know, the picture.
Yeah. Then yeah, she goes to lunch with Nigel and then he gets a text and then it's like, Miranda's pushed the run through up half an hour.
Oh, she goes to lunch with Nigel. I was like, what are you talking about? I was picturing them like sat at a restaurant. But like, no, she goes to the cafeteria and gets like normal human food and he is all judgy at her and tells her she's fucking fat. Just like, God, you're all such cunts.
I feel, though, that he's, like, doing it in, like, a more, like...
looking out for her?
Yeah, he's sort of, like, playfully trying to, like, just, like, inform her of the way things are here. I don't feel like he's trying to, like, make her feel, like, actually bad.
Maybe, but if that's his effort at doing that, then I think things... the way that, you know, those kinds of things happen in that environment... would be so alien to someone who isn't accustomed to it. I think I would have liked to see the Andy character be a little more affronted at how rude people are to her generally.
I think though that she's just got thick skin. Like, I actually think that she's actually just a bit more resilient than someone who would have that kind of reaction. So she's just kind of like, she's very much taken a lot of it just like on her chin. But yeah, they rush into Miranda's office for the run through, which is where they present the looks that they're going to put in the editorials for the upcoming issue. And Miranda doesn't like any of it.
She doesn't like any of it.
She's seen it all before.
Seen it all before?
She's like, I've seen all this before. Show me something new. And so Anne Hathaway's like, well, I found a little chimpanzee at work earlier. It was hiding in the men's toilet. Do you want to see? I mean, yeah, kind of.
Yes, he had teal nipple tassels.
Yes. And he's wearing a little tutu. And he's got a little bicyclette. Look. And she puts him on the floor on his little bicycle and he cycles around the office. And Miranda's like, well, quickly get in. Who's a famous photographer? Annie Leibovitz. So take a photo of this monkey. He's going to be on the cover of next issue. And the editorial will be full of primates.
And we'll tell stories of their adventures through New York.
Yes, monkey in New York. And of course we have to include King Kong on the Empire State Building. Because you know he's the king of all the monkeys. Even though he's an ape.
Yes, and of course I will be the woman in his hand.
Yes, look, I got a little wig, like a little floaty dress, and I got tit tape too. Don't you like the alliteration? Tip tape too. Says really fast, tit too. And Andy starts laughing and she's like, is something funny?
And she's like, no, it's just this monkey and that monkey look exactly the same to me.
You know, I'm still learning about this stuff. And she's like, this stuff? Oh, I see.
Well, that monkey you're wearing.
You think this zoo has nothing to do with you? You go to your zoo. You pick up, I don't know. That little small chimp.
That rescue dog of yours.
Yeah. What you don't know is that dog is not a dog. It's not a Labrador. It's not even a Chihuahua. It's actually an orangutan. And you're also blithely unaware of in 2002. Oscar de la Renta had an orangutan.
Filtered down through the highway store and was picked out by you.
You know, down fished it out of some fucking rescue center bin. And I find it almost comical that you think you've chosen an animal that exempts you from the fashion industry. Well, in fact, you're playing with a chimp. That was tourism for you. Oh my god, sorry.
Oh god. It's just shit everywhere.
Oh god, no, fucking hell, no. One of the assistants shows Miranda these two belts. And they look exactly the same. One just has like a slightly a different buckle.
Yeah, they just got different buckles, but apart from that, they're the same belt.
And then the assistant's like, oh, like, I don't know which one to choose. I mean, they're so different. And Miranda's like, Then Andy starts laughing. Then Miranda's like, oh, something funny. She's like, oh, they just look exactly the same to me. And then Miranda gives her like a total fucking dressing down. She basically says the monologue.
Dressing down. She takes all her clothes off of her.
Yeah, she's like, take off your clothes and roll around in this monkey shit. Now look at you. You make me sick. And also aroused. How much of a primate are you? Oh god, but yeah, she makes Andy feel like shit. And then when we cut to fucking Andy in her apartment with her boyfriend relaying what happened in the office.
Yeah, she turns down the grilled cheese, if you know what I mean.
Oh fucking hell. But yeah, she's like, oh, I thought the flesh was gonna melt off of her face. I've just gotta stick it out 1 year. 1 year and that's all. And then her boyfriend's like, you go, tiger. Then he eats the sandwich.
Then he eats the grilled cheese.
Yeah. He eats a fucking Philadelphia creme cheese. Anyway, so fucking we get like a montage of Andy being fucking like told to go and do errands.
Yes, montage of Meryl Streep being very demanding indeed.
Yes. Like, my girls need new surfboards or boogie boards for spring break. Go and get my dog. I need some shoes from Blahnik. I need some this from that. I need a saxophone. And then Andy's like, ah, I can help you there. Look. And Miranda's like, how are you doing that? And she's like, well, if you looked, you would have seen. Okay, I'm looking now. Oh my God. Is that a 6-foot pole in your vagina? Yeah. Look at the holes. Hey, do you want to blow into it? Okay. Blow, don't suck. Okay. I mean it, blow, don't suck. Okay. I told you not to suck.
Oh, my uterus.
Oh, my cottage cheese uterus. Quickly, someone find me a cracker. Anyway, so yeah, fucking, it kind of ends with Andy saying to Emily, oh, are you doing anything nice this weekend? And Emily's like, yes.
And then goes.
So she goes to dinner with her dad that weekend because she's going to go and see Chicago with him. And he's like, Andy, man, here's some money to help with the rent because I know you don't get paid much at your job. I don't know why you gave up fucking law school to be a journalist. Now you're just fucking being someone's little fucking dog's buddy.
Oh, God, the dogs and their bodies.
Yeah, and then she's like, no, it'll be fine. If I work here for her, I get to work anywhere in this town. And then she gets a phone call from Miranda. Because Miranda's stranded in Miami.
Stranded in Miami.
Bienvenido a Miami.
I did the thing that you do.
Mind swap. Yeah. And Miranda's like, oh, my flight has been cancelled because of the weather. Some insane weather condition or something.
Yeah, there's a hurricane, so there's no flights. And so she's like, get me a flight from Miami to New York tonight because of my twins something recital something.
Piano recital, I think.
Yeah.
Get me home. So Andy fucking like calls everyone and they can't get her out. And then it cuts to Miranda's office in the day and Andy's there in front of her. And she's like, the girls' recital was absolutely beautiful. They played Rachmaninoff. Everyone loved it. Everyone except me, because sadly, I was not there. Fan's like, I fucking did everything I could.
Did everything I could, you fucking bitch.
Yeah. What did you want me to do? Fucking paraglide there. And then Miranda's like, do you know why I hired you? And Andy's like, no, I've been wondering that all this time. She's like, because I always hire the same girl. She's fashionable, slender, of course. Absolutely worships the magazine, but they're more often than not stupid. But then you come along with that fancy monkey on your shoulder and that saxophone vagina. My big speech about how... Oh, God. And I thought, sure, take a chance on the monkey sax girl. And you turn out to be more disappointing than any of the other city girls.
You've covered this place in cottage cheese.
Yes, look, I still haven't been able to get it out of my mustache.
Not that one, my downstairs mustache.
Yes, my... fastache.
My ass-tash.
My old Grandpa Benjamin, as I call it.
Oh, and Anne Hathaway's like, oh, I'm sorry to have disappointed you, and then leaves. And she goes to see Nigel.
She's like, I'm absolutely killing myself trying. And I'm just like, you're not fucking trying, Anne.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, you fucking hate working here, and it shows. So you wonder why she doesn't give you a gold star and kiss you on your fucking rumptious puff at the end of the day. And she's like,
rumptious puff.
And she's like, oh, if only I knew there was someone I could... Oh my God, big face acting, Nigel. But he's like, no. And we kind of get from that that she wants him to give her a makeover.
Yeah.
So he takes her to the closet, which is, I think, where they put all the clothes that they've used for editorials going there. Because I think that in the book, which is based on like a true story from an assistant at Vogue, they, at a certain time, I think it was twice a year, that you would be able to go and get things from the closet, because otherwise they were just going to be like thrown away, basically. So you'd get like access to really cool stuff. And I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we fucking dresses her up proper.
Dresses her up right nice.
Yeah.
And then she looks like a different person now, so people like her.
Then we get outfit montage with Madonna's Vogue playing.
Yes.
And there's a really fugly one where she's wearing this horrid green coat with like a Dalmatian collar on it. And I'm like, ugh. But the rest of it was nice.
Yeah, I think most of it, I think I've heard you say this before, that like actual like good fashion is timeless.
Yes.
Like, yeah. You know, if you wear, like, there are like faddy things that come in and out of style, but true fashion is timeless. And I think I agree with that with most of the outfits she wears, but there are a couple of things, like a couple of the jaunty hats where I'm just like, that is just early 2000s and it's over now and it doesn't look good.
Yeah, it's like, some of it is like trendy, and trendy by its nature is obviously a trend and they don't last.
Yeah.
Whereas true style never goes out of season. Mm. But yeah, so she fucking meets her friends for drinks after one night at work, and she's got gifts for them because Miranda didn't want them.
Yeah, that Bang & Olufsen phone. The fuck is that about?
I know that's like a really high thingy brand, but I know
the brand.
The first time I heard of it was in this film, and I was like, well, that phone looks like very space age, so I guess it's like...
Well, I mean, my laptop is Bang & Olufsen, but...
Is it?
Yeah. But I mean, I was just like the long shape of it. Like, what is it? Is it like a landline phone?
I think it is. I think that's what it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't fucking carry that around with you.
No, surely not.
Maybe it's a mobile phone and prostate massager.
She gives it to her boyfriend.
Yeah, you put it in, you get your GP to phone you, and then you're like, ah! Yes.
Hello.
Sorry, you sound all muffled.
Oh, I've got shit in my ear.
Oh, great. Yeah, she gives a bag to one of her friends, to her lady friend. She gives the phone to her gay friend.
Yes.
And then she's like, yeah, you know, I used to think that working at Runway was just this and that, but they actually do write some really cool stuff. There was an essay about this, and then her boyfriend's like, oh, someone's been drinking the Kool-Aid. And I was like, leave her alone. She's finding, like, joy in her work. Why are you giving her a hard time?
Well, I thought that... So her boyfriend does become a bit of a dick, but I thought that line was kind of a, like, just a harmless throwaway thing, and she gets a bit affronted by it, which I thought that was a bit... I thought her reaction was a bit of an overreaction to a sort of lighthearted quip.
I guess so. I mean, I can understand both of them in what they were saying and how they reacted.
Yeah.
Because obviously he just thought it was quite like a harmless joke, but I think if I was feeling how she did about things at that moment, I would probably be like, okay, that's a bit weird to say. So yeah, Miranda calls, and then she's like, she wants Andy to go and pick up something from James Holt's apartment.
Yeah, there's some sort of event exhibit going on somewhere.
Yeah, he's done like designs for like a benefit and stuff, and his new fashion thing. Anyway, so Andy's like, yeah, I've got to go. But her friends, like, they like, when the phone rang, they like grabbed her phone and were like passing it around. And I was like, this is not a joke, guys. This is a fucking work. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. That was fucking stupid. She was right to get pissed off with them then.
Yeah. So then she fucks off, and then she goes to James Holtz's, and he's like, here are the sketches.
He says, here are the sketches. And she says, thank you for the sketches.
And he says, would you like some more sketches? And she's like, yes. He's like, come out the back. I've got Kate Winslet, and she's got her tits out.
Here's a stick of charcoal.
Yes. If you can draw her in 90 seconds, I'll give you a 3-plate of parfaits. And he gets to 79 seconds, and she just can't get the areola right. And he's like, oh, you failed.
No parfaits for you.
Yes, and I've got to chop off your hands and keep them in a jam jar.
You didn't say that when you first had to be the chuck. Well, I shouldn't need to.
Yes. It's an unwritten rule. If you can't draw the tits on Kate Winslet, you're not going to keep your hands. Anyway, thank you for coming to James Holtz. Please come again.
Chop.
So she wanders out with the bleeding stumps, and she's getting awfully white.
Yeah.
And he's like, have some punch, and you're right.
She's like, okay, trying to lift the glass to her mouth with her stumps.
So she just puts her head inside the bowl instead. She whips it up like the Little Mermaid when she emerged from the water, and then a guy next to her is like, wow, I love your bleeding stumps. What can I say? I like the way the scarlet is splashing against your alabaster skin like a Jackson Pollock painting. I love the way your tears are running down your face in zigzag lines like they were done by Salvador Dali himself. And she's like, I need an ambulance.
I need medical attention.
No, I know what kind of attention you need. You need penile attention. I'm Christian Thompson. That's my way.
Here's my autobiography, Penile Attention.
Oh, good. Now she gets some punch and she's got her hands and...
Yes, gets approached by fucking Gilderoy Lockhart.
It's so weird because I feel like they like dyed his eyebrows for this to match his hair. But I think he is like a natural blonde because he's naturally blonde in other stuff I've seen him in. But it's the eyebrows that freak me out.
Oh, yeah. I can't say I noticed his eyebrows.
They were almost invisible because they were so blonde. And I was like, that's... Like, that's... Undignified. But yeah, they start chatting and then she's like, yeah, I'm a journalist, I'm working for Miranda Priestley's assistant. Evan's like, oh, you'll never survive that job. And she's like, bye. But it's like, hope I see you again.
Yes, but it's also send me some stuff you've written if you want, which we later learn that she does, because he's a big deal writer or something.
Miranda sees the sketches the next day. And she's like, call James Holt's office. Tell him I want to move the run-through up to today. Be ready to leave in half an hour. So they all get ready. They go to James Holt's office. And we get like he presents his latest designs to her in the flesh, including the dress that he's designed for her to wear to the benefit.
Oh, yeah.
To like the fashion gala. And we have like a voiceover and Nigel just saying what Miranda's reactions mean.
Yeah.
And then he's like, one night is good, two nights is very good, there's only been one smile on record and that was Tom Ford in 2004. And then Anne Hathaway's like, and what if she doesn't like it? And then he's like, then she purses her lips and that means catastrophe. Anyway, that's all what her purse means, her mouth purse, not her like coin purse.
That's a whole different story.
Yeah, she opens up her coin purse and shakes it at you. It means you're a bad boy and you can't have any chocolate today. And then you go, Mummy, please, can I? She's like, no, I'm shaking my coin purse at you.
And that means you can't have any money for chocolate.
Yes. And then she turns around and then she runs away with her arms floating around her head and shit leaking out of her arsehole. And that's when you know she's forgotten to take her medication. But yeah, she gives the purse lips to the dress that James has designed for her for the gala. And so when they're all leaving, she's like, Nigel, can you go talk to him? I just don't understand what he was thinking or something like that.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Andy, I'm going to need a change of clothes for my dinner this evening. And she's like, oh, well, I've already messaged your outfit over to the shoot.
Yeah, I've already done all of the stuff that you're about to ask me to do. And so she's like, okay, in that case, come to my house later and give me the book.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
Yes.
Sorry, I meant boob. Give me the boob.
Look, if you want to make it in this industry, you have to know that I like to nurse.
Do you mean, oh, it's like for the twins? No.
I have to have a good night's sleep. I need my sister to get her boob out, wrap me in a little blanket, and let me suck on it. I mean, if milk comes out, that's nice too. Otherwise, I would just accept... Well, whatever comes out. What comes out of your boob, Andy? Nothing. I've never been pregnant. We need to remedy that, I feel.
Nigel?
Nigel, put your little gay penis inside her and give her a baby.
Not again, Miranda.
Miranda needs her yum-yums. Yeah, she said Emily gives Andy explicit instructions on what to do with the book. And Andy gets confused when she fucking delivers it.
Yes, put it on the table with the flowers. There are lots of tables with flowers, though.
Yeah, but I would have just put it on one of them and hoped that would be enough. I'm sure it wouldn't be that big a deal, you know?
Put it on the one in the entrance hall.
I think I probably would have chosen to put it on the one in the living room.
I think I would have chosen, like, the least... home intrusive option, you know?
Right, yeah, that probably makes the most sense.
But the twins are obviously, you know, full of shit and playing their childlike pranks, and they get her to come upstairs.
Of course. They're ginger.
What do you expect?
J.K. Rowling wrote a whole book about it. Ginger twins cannot be trusted!
No, they cannot. Kill one of them and chop off the other one's ear.
So yeah, they say, oh, you know, you can just come up here and give the book to us. And Andy's like, no, I can't. And then she's like, come on. Emily does it all the time. And then the other twin's like, she does? And then she goes, yeah, she does. So Andy fucking goes up the stairs and walks in on Miranda and her fucking husband having a Barney.
Yeah.
And Miranda fucking turns and sees her and gives her like fucking daggers.
Death stare.
Yeah.
And she just like slowly backs away, tries to just crawl back into the shadows, but then goes, oh, and just walks back up and just leaves the book on the floor. Just sort of doesn't break eye contact with her the whole time and then slowly backs away.
The other next day she walks in and Emily takes her straight into the kitchen and fucking gives her a good telling off.
She's like, ooh.
Yeah, she's like, spanky, spanky, eggs and banky. Then Miranda summons Andy into her office.
Yes. What does she want?
She's like, my twins want the new Harry Potter book. And Andy's like, okay, I'll run down to Barnes & Noble and get it right now. She's like, did you fall down or fucking rub your fucking clit on the pavement?
No? Then what are you waiting for?
Yes.
Get out there and do it.
Here's a video camera, here's some Vaseline, and here's some extra trippy shoes. Make it look natural.
I can't reach climax if it looks acted.
And when you come back, I want the unpublished manuscript.
She wants the unpublished Harry Potter manuscript.
Which was book 7 at the time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Andy's like, "Arr!"
Okay.
Sorry, that was my morning queef.
That's what they sound like. I didn't make that noise with my mouth.
Oh my god. So yeah, she runs back to her desk in a panic and is like, I can call fucking J.K. Rowling herself and I will not get a copy of that manuscript.
Yes, so she calls Gilderoy Lockhart instead.
Yeah, she's like, where are you, Gilderoy? And then he's like, I'm in your wildest dreams, baby.
I'm in St. Mungo's Hospital.
Yes, I got hit by a fucking brick and a memory charm. One of them did damage, a little bit though. When I say brick, I mean I got hit on the head with a small wobbly hammer by a petite substitute teacher who didn't like my advances. Apparently, sticking your two fingers and your pinky up there to do the shocker is not appreciated in polite society. And how was I supposed to know? Anyway, who am I?
How did I get here? What film am I in?
And why have I got no hands?
why have you got like, no hands?
How are you dying in the phone? Ah, you got a bang and oh, listen, okay. It all makes sense now. But yeah, she's like, she sees his name on the side of a bus and she's like, ah. So she calls him and then he's like, you're asking for the fucking impossible, you know. And he's like, look, I'll see what I can do. And as the afternoon wears on, she finds her boyfriend in and she's like, I think I'm going to just quit because I can't fucking get the book.
Yeah.
And he's all proud of her for quitting and sticking to her guns. I'm like, man, you just don't want her to succeed.
Yeah, it's super weird, like, his whole perspective on things.
Yeah. But yeah, Christian calls her and he's like, a friend of mine does the cover art. And she's lent me a copy of the manuscript. And she's like, oh, that's great, but, you know, I was just about to. And he's like, look, if you want it, you better come now. He's like, I'll meet you in the bar of this hotel. She's like, okay, I'll bring my sexy nightstand. And he's like, that's heavy.
That'll just slow you down, especially now you don't have any hands.
Yeah, just take the lingerie out of there. Oh, yeah, of course. But she forgets, so we see her fucking backing into the bar with her teeth dragging the nightstand with a shattered mirror on it. She's like, I brought it! And he's like, I told you not to. She's like,
oh yeah.
I forgot. Oh, God, of course. I forgot everything we said in that conversation. Why am I even here? And he's like, you're here because you agreed to have sex with me.
Full stop.
Yes. There is no extra bit to that sentence. Should we do it here? She's like, well, I guess if I agree to it.
I can't go back on my word.
Yeah. Let's do it on the nightstand. That's why I brought the nightstand.
It all makes sense. Do you remember where my hands went?
Yeah, I think they were in my underpants. Oh, really? Oh, thanks, man. Can you get them out for me? No, no, no. The trial of the hands means you must discover them yourself. That's it. Use your teeth. Oh, good. So she fishes out her hands from his thing. And she's like, ah. And he's like, now you may receive the manuscript. And he puts the manuscript for Harry Potter in her hands.
Yes. And she delivers it to Meryl Streep all sassy like.
Yeah. And she's like, one copy. What am I supposed to do with that? Share. She's like, I like share too. She's like, yes, I don't want my kids to do share. They'll get their piss taken out of them at school. Even though she does that one song. You know the one that goes, do you believe in love after love? She's like, I love that song. She's like, me too. Do you believe in life after love? She's like, I don't like where this is going.
I've killed your boyfriend.
Yes. Now you can come live with me in my little petticoat castle, and we can eat bonbons and do macrame, and I can rub this solvent on your vagina. Won't that sting? Yes, but I can't enjoy it without pain. If it doesn't hurt, it won't work. That's what Mama always said to me. Anyway, are you ready to go? Sure. Can you help me carry my dresser? Oh, God, no. She says, yeah, no, this is just a copy, an extra copy to have on file. I gave copies to your twins already. Anyway, so she walks out being all proud of herself. And then that night she goes home.
Things are a bit tense with sexy BF.
Yeah. He's like, I bought strawberries because you quit your job. And she's like, He's like, wait, you quit your job, but you're still fucking doing the twin science homework? She's like,
Fuck off, mate. Your fucking strawberries and your curly hair.
That's him. And she's like, oh, don't feel bad. Here, look at my tits in this corset thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, whoa.
Just bloody hell, man. They look bloody lovely.
Glaze those fucking strawberries. Yeah. Then we cut to her and Nigel in a fucking park during a photo shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Because she has to get the fucking Polaroids.
Yeah. I can't remember what happens to this bit.
Oh, she's just like, it's just, it's a bit of like a, it's like a throwaway scene, but not really, because it kind of, she says something like, oh, I've got to do this, but I don't know, I'm going to have the time. And then he's like, oh, well, tell me when your whole life goes up in smoke. That means it's time for a promotion. Then she has like a look on her face like, huh.
Because
She's starting to dawn in her what she's sacrificing.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Miranda in an editor's meeting.
Yes. Talking about some whatever fashion bullshit, and then Emily walks in and spews flannel over everyone.
I enjoyed that scene very much. I liked seeing her do her job. The authoritative pen and her nose, as in N-O apostrophe S, not...
And her nose. Secret to Meryl Streep's acting. It's all in the nose.
Yeah. Oh, God, but yeah, Emily comes in and, yeah, fucking gobs all over her face. And she's like, does anyone else have anything I can use? Some antibacterial wipes, perhaps? And maybe a flu jab?
No? Okay, Emily, do it again.
Emily, do it again. I'm going to open my mouth this time and spin around three times. Andy's in the office and she's like, oh, I can't wait for a fucking Curly Boss's party tonight. We're going to throw him a little birthday bash. Then Emily's like, yeah, I'm hearing this. And she does like the mouthy hand thing, but I want to hear this. She closes her hand in one swoopy motion. I'm like, ooh, that's sexy. But yeah, they both get someone into the office and she's like, Andy, this is the most important thingy. I need you to come along and assist Emily. So they're like, fuck.
Yes.
And then Emily gives her folders.
Folders to memorize everyone, because their main job at this function, whatever they're going to, is going to be to tell Miranda that who all the people are.
Yes.
Like how royalty have people like following behind them who whisper in their ear who people are before they meet them.
Is that a real thing? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Queen Elizabeth needs an ear trumpeter to be like, this is
Snoop Dogg.
Yes, this is Snoop Dogg. Tell him you love his music and the dirty fat bass line. He's like, hey, lovely to meet you, it's Mr. Snoop. No, Mr. Dogg.
Make sure you have a puff on his reefer. He will not take kindly otherwise.
I've been told I must have a puff on your reefer. Oh, I love that dirty fat bass line. Okay, who's next? This is Nelson Mandela. He's been dead for several years, but we brought him back especially for tonight.
Tell him exactly the same thing you told Snoop Dogg.
Yes. Ah, I love to have a puff on your reefer. Also, I love your dirty fat bass line. What's apartheid? Fucking hell. So yeah, they get to the function and they're there doing stuff.
They're doing stuff. We meet Frenchie McFrench editor.
Yeah, Jacqueline Follet.
Yeah.
And Miranda hates her.
She bloody hates her.
Can't understand why. She's got a stupid haircut.
She's bloody French.
Miranda's like, oh, we're so glad you could make it. And she's like, of course. I play my whole year around this.
Of course.
We are so glad that you do. And then Irv is with her, who is like the boss, I guess, of whatever the publishing house is.
Yeah, the one who appoints the editors of the...
Yeah, because it's all his money that's in it. And she's like, did you get my note? And he's like, yes, we'll talk about it on Monday. She's like, of course, no business tonight, enjoy.
Of course.
Of course, Zutala, enjoy.
Be our guest.
please enjoy, put your hands in my toy, and my toy is what I call my vagine. So take a drink with me and roll around in pee, and then you will be Mr. Sheen. Ah, God, and everyone applauds, and Miranda's like, thank you, I've been working on that all year. Especially for you, Miss Follet.
She's like, oh yes, I planned my whole year around your song.
I tried to write my own verse, but it did not come out well. It went like this: be our guest, in my boobs you may infest like a little dirty infested plague. And then I get boils on my little bonbon. And then they burst, and then I die. And that was the end, and I couldn't finish it. Oh my God, fucking hell. But yeah, there's someone who approaches, and Emily can't remember the name, but Andy does. She's like, that's Ambassador Franklin, and the woman he's left his wife for, Rebecca. And she's like, ah, Ambassador, you are really spoiling us. And then Emily says, thank you.
Yes.
Then she runs out of there like Cinderella.
Yes, but meets Gilderoy Lockhart outside.
Yeah, him and his little wand.
Him and his little wand flapping in the wind.
Yeah. He's like, oh, why don't you come back inside? I've got my editor in there from The New Yorker, and it would be good to me, like, introduce you, because I read some of your stuff, and you weren't half bad.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, yeah.
But then she's like, oh, no.
And I was like, oh, yeah, oh, no, I am late for the party. I am a guest. I'm a guest. They're like, no.
Yeah, just stop.
But yeah, I think she should have gone back in and met the guy.
It's, yeah, it, I mean, you really felt like the tension in that decision, like the conflict, which, like, I mean, and I don't know what should have been done for the best. I would have had a real hard time in that situation as well, which is like, speaks to how good, how well done the film is, I think, that like,
yeah,
you really feel that conflict along with her.
I just feel like it was that late. She knows she already missed everything.
Yeah. Yeah, if she knew she'd already missed everything, then yeah.
And that could have been a really fucking important meeting, you know? Mm. Like, she might not have got that opportunity again.
Yeah.
Because she gets back home, she and Nate sat up waiting for her just so he could go to bed in a huff when she came in.
Yeah, what a fucking dick.
She goes in with, like, a little cupcake and stuff. And then she's like, hi, I'm so sorry I'm late, but, you know, I didn't have a choice. And he's like, no, it's cool, man. And he gets up, and then she's like, can we at least talk about this? And then he's like, you look really pretty. Then he goes to bed, and I was like, man, it was like, it was a fucking birthday party, and she had work, but yet she still showed up with like a little sweet cake and like a little bag of your presents and stuff. Like,
yeah. I mean, I guess it's like a representation of how their relationship has been going over this time that she's been in this job. It's like an accumulation of it all, I guess.
I feel like we needed to have seen more things then that she had to miss out on. So it's a cut to her dropping the book off at Miranda's one evening.
Oh, yeah. Miranda, like, summons her into her sitting room or whatever.
Yeah. Paris is the most important week of my entire year.
Yes. I need my best team around me, and that no longer includes Emily.
She's like, no, Emily would die. I can't do that to her, Miranda. I just can't. And then she's like, if you say no, I'd assume you ain't serious about your future at Runway or any other magazine. Also, I need someone who can nurse me. And I hear that fetus is growing good.
It better be. We'll get Nigel and his little gay willy back here.
You can't keep it, of course. I want you to carry it to term, then go into labor, we'll get it out, and then we'll put it in a basket and throw it in the river with a little bottle and a little note saying, look after me, whoever finds me. Are you happy with that? No, Miranda. Well, if you say no, I'll assume you're not serious. Yes. Oh, God. But yeah, she goes into work the next day, and that sort of like confirms that she's agreed to go.
Yes, and we get the symbolic gesture of Miranda throwing her coat and bag on Emily's desk instead.
Yeah, and I quite liked that.
Oh, the dynamic has shifted.
Yeah. And then she's like, Andrea, don't forget to tell Emily. And she's like, oh, what?
Yeah, so she calls her.
Yeah, and Emily's like, hi, I've just got to go to Hermes to pick up scarves. And Andrea's like, oh, Emily, I need to tell you something. And then Emily gets hit by a fucking car.
She's hit by a fucking taxi.
But yeah, she goes to see Emily in hospital.
Yeah, and she tells her that she's going to go to Paris, and Emily's all upset, as you would be.
She's like, what a pile of bollocks. I saw you sell your soul as soon as you got that chimp out of your muff. I saw it. I knew it happened.
How many times have you licked the peanut butter out of her folds? Yeah. You don't even know how to apply the pegs.
And now she chooses you to get pregnant. It's like, oh, just go. Fernandy's like, oh, but Emily. She's like, just go. And take your licky deets with you. But leave the baby.
So she goes to her friend's art exhibit.
Yeah.
And it's all like, oh, look at her being supportive to her friends still.
Yeah, and her friend's like, ah, oh, start from the back and work your way forward. That's how I like it.
Yes.
Also, have a look at the pictures. Said her friend.
Yes.
Yeah, so she goes to look at them.
And she meets none other than Gilderoy.
Yes. He's like, ooh, what are you doing here?
Yes, exactly like that. And then she's like, you're a fucking creepy slime ball, which he kind of is.
I
wasn't charmed by him at all.
I wasn't either, but I could see why she was. I thought he was just shy of being a creep.
He's very close to the line.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
For me, if it was someone who I personally thought was a lot more handsome, I don't think it would have come off creepy at all.
I guess so. I feel like he's kind of like, he's like Marmite handsome.
Yes. She obviously loves Marmite. She loves that yeast extract.
Obviously.
Yeah. That's what fucking keeps her up in the morning.
Yeast infection.
Yeah. Itchy and scratchy. You know, like The Simpsons.
Fucking hell. That just flung so far, so quickly. I just couldn't catch up. Jesus Christ. So yeah, and he gives her a slightly sinister, but you know, meant to be loving and affectionate, a kiss on the cheek, and her friend sees it through the crowd and is a huge fucking pain in the ass about it.
Yeah, and she's like, and then Andy's like, look, it was nothing, he's just a friend from work. And then she's like, yeah, it looked like work. And then she's like, you know, the girl that I know is madly in love with Nate. the girl that I know drinks these stupid things and thinks that Club Monaco is couture. I don't even know what Club Monaco is.
Me neither.
And then she's like, this new girl, this glamazon who has a chimpanzee on a bicycle in her underwear, I don't know her. She's like, oh.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, so?
Yeah, I'm like, your friend is just like evolving, you know? It's not...
Yeah, I kind of struggled to care about this. I knew it was like an important, like the film was telling me that this is a representative of the rest of her life falling to pieces. But I kind of struggled to care about her relationship with this person because we hadn't been given reason to like her very much.
Anyway, her friend's like, have a good time in Paris, Hilton.
One night in.
And then Nate's like, Paris Hilton, what? Like, what, now you're gonna have a go at me too?
Oh god, you can't even see anything anyway.
I shouldn't have to put on night vision goggles for my porn, okay? And then he's like, what? Like, I thought that Paris Hilton was a big deal for Emily or something. And then he's like, oh, come on. And she's like, I didn't have a choice.
He's like, oh, that's always your excuse, et cetera, et cetera. Just admit it. Admit that you've become one of them. And then we can stop pretending that we've got anything in common.
And she's like, well, maybe this trip's coming at a good time. Maybe we need a break. He's like, yeah, maybe we need a Kit Kat. She's like, you know I hate Nestle chocolate.
Oh, God. It's like, fine, gives us some Smarties. You don't know me at all, do you? I'm going to go to Paris and bang Hans Christian Andersen or whatever his name is.
Yeah, he's got the good chocolate, the French chocolate. You know, there's a film called Chocolat. He knows all about that shit. In that film, they put chocolate on chicken. Can you believe that? And he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, man.
Should we go home and watch Chocolat?
She makes some fucking roast chicken. She puts chocolate right on it. I was like, say what? I was like, Juliette Binoche, you crazy. Anyway, fucking, she like calls out his name as he walks away, and he turns around hopeful, and then fucking Miranda calls. And he's like, the person whose phone calls you always take, that's the relationship you're in.
Yeah.
Hope you're very happy together.
And then boom.
She's like, Miranda? And then she's like, Andy? Is this our new greeting? I love it. Yeah, we cut to a fucking montage of Paris.
Gay Paris.
Yeah, Le Paris, Le Paris. It is French, like you and me. And you can get the finest cuisine. Like a lovely croissant or a pain au chocolat or any other thing that ends with Z. Pierre looks fucking nice in this little montage.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is nice anyway, but it looks like proper, like, wow and sparkly and stuff.
Yeah, it's all like the glitzy glamour Paris viewpoint, isn't it? Which, you know, Paris Fashion Week, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And she looks all nice in her clothes and stuff. Where is she getting these clothes from?
Yeah, I know, right? Is she just because, like, there's a whole thing about she gets paid shit for this job.
Yeah.
And she's wearing, like, top-range fashion clothes. I mean, is she just getting them all from work? Can you just do that?
That's what I thought, but then I thought, that's a lot of clothes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so fucking that night... Oh, no, she bumps into... what's his name?
Gilderoy Lockhart. I don't know. When I go to think of what his actual character's name is, all I can think of is Hans Christian Andersen. And I know that's not
Christian
it.
Thompson.
Christian Thompson.
I'm about to write the books about a mermaid, yeah? You my muse. It's called Andy the Mermaid. She got no hands. Oh god, but he bumps into her and then he's like, do you want to go out for dinner? But what will the boyfriend say? And she's like, ah, and then he's like, ah, don't tell me the boyfriend is non plus. And then she gives him a look and he's like, ah, je suis très très désolé. And she's like, you're not désolé at all.
And he's like, sorry, what? I don't speak French.
Yes, I saw those words on a bumper sticker once, and I always use them, and this happens to be the right context. At last!
Anyway, let's go back.
Siri takes her out for dinner. Well, no, they arrange for dinner that night.
Yeah, so she finds Miranda at the hotel with no makeup and looking a bit flustered. And it's quite a shock to see her like that with her kind of armor off.
Yeah, because she's gone there to confirm the seating chart for the luncheon the next day. And then Miranda must have summoned her, I guess, because Miranda says we need to go over the seating chart.
Yeah, because her husband will no longer be attending.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, so we're going to go fetch it from the airport? Miranda's like, well, if he decides to rethink the divorce, then go fetch. You're very fetching, so go fetch. Go fetch like a little bitch dog that you are. I throw the stick, you bring it back. That's what we do. So. And then she starts crying and she's like, oh.
Yeah, this scene, man, is like peak Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
So good.
And I just, you know that this is probably like not even hard for her to do that, you know?
Yeah.
She's just like, yeah, that's what
Yeah, she just did it. She just like, yeah. Just all those emotions perfectly.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, man.
Yeah, it's like a real like journey you go on in that scene with her. Just seeing the veneer break and then reseal itself is pretty
amazing. Yeah, and you really, really see it as well. Yeah. So good.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just someone fair to my girls, you know, just another father figure, just another disappointment.
Because she obviously like desperately wants to talk to someone about this, but kind of can't.
Because she hasn't got any friends.
And yeah, just sort of can't because of the persona that she has and has to keep.
Yeah. And she's like, anyway, we really need to sort out where Donatella is sitting because she's barely talking to anybody. Then Andy's like, oh, if there's anything else you need me to do. And then she's like, yeah, your job. You know, the fetch. I throw the stick, you bring it back. That's what we do.
How many times do we need to go over this, Andy? No, you can't have the monkey do it for you.
I know he has a bicyclette, but that's cheating.
Petite bicyclette.
With his little gay bell. So yeah, Andy goes back to her suite to finish getting ready. And fucking Nigel stops by.
Yes.
He needs like the Polaroids or something, didn't he, from something.
He comes by to, like, I've just written bald guy comes and they celebrate.
Yeah, that'll do. He's like, I got a new job. And she's like, what about Miranda? She's like, no, she put me up for it. Christian Holt is, not Christian Holt, James Holt is expanding his brand and he wants me to come on board as a something something. And I'll finally be in control of my own life and I'll be able to come to Paris. Now she see Paris right in the flesh. Without night vision. Yeah. And Andy's like, oh, let's toast to that.
So they do.
Yeah, she's like, did you bring the butter? He's like, yeah, of course.
Don't get crumbs in it.
So yeah, she goes for dinner with Christian and they talk about Miranda. She's like, if Miranda was a man, he wouldn't notice anything about her except how big her dick was. And she slaps you in the face with it at the urinal. He's like, yeah, true, true.
And then they bang.
On the table. In the restaurant.
Yes.
And then the waiter's like, ah, it's very European. Yes.
Très bien.
I have bought a bowl of hot waters for you to dip your fingers in. Because you know cleanliness is next to godliness. I like the way your breasts fall under your armpits when you're lying down. Here's a breadstick. Sorry. So anyway, like her and Thingy finish up dinner. Yeah, they go bang at his apartment. She wakes up the next day full of regret and mascara.
Paris.
Oh god.
Yeah, she finds a mock-up of runway and he's like, oh yeah, that's what American runway is going to look like when Frenchie McFrencherson takes over and replaces Miranda. And she's like,
oh, and he's going to be brought on as like creative editor or something as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, yeah, because Jacqueline Follet is a lot cheaper than Miranda. And she's like, you spent one night in Paris. Why are you talking like that? And he's like, ah, that is the Christian Thompson way.
One night in Paris.
Give me a baguette and I shall do my baguette.
I should put that in Paris as well.
Yes. I got some Margarine to smother it on top. French stick, it fits so well in Paris. Yeah, did you like my double entendre? Sorry. But yeah, she's like, no, Miranda would die. Runway is her life. And Vinny's like, it's done. And she's like, I have to go warn her. And he's like, baby, it's done. She's like, don't call me baby.
And then he's like, ah, very good, very good.
Ah, yeah. Your French music, I appreciate it.
Encore une fois.
Et madame, monsieur, baby, encore une fois.
Oh, your French in this episode has been on point.
I believe it's pronounced en point.
It is.
Is it?
I mean, yeah, sure.
Wow, a broken clock is right twice a day. Right, so she fucking... Yeah, she tries to phone Miranda, but she can't get through, so she goes to Miranda's apartment and bangs on it, and Miranda comes out and is like, what the fuck are you doing? Have you lost your mind?
Yeah, and she's in there with
Irv.
Big McCheese dude.
Yeah, what's his last name? Is it Rabbits? Rabbits, that sounds...
Oh, yeah, right. I kept thinking they were calling him Mr. Rabbits, but I was like, that guy must... I must be mishearing that, but I never bothered.
I'm in here with the Easter Bunny. What do you want? Anyway, so, Andy gets to the lunch and Miranda appears and she's like, and then she tells her about the plan that Christian told her.
Yeah.
Miranda kind of just like, she listens kind of a bit, but doesn't really pay attention.
Yeah, she doesn't acknowledge it, changes the subject and walks into the luncheon.
Yeah. And then she gets brought up on stage to do a little speech.
Yes. Introduced by Baldy McBalderson. What's his name again?
Nigel Farage.
What are we doing in Paris? It's full of French people.
Yes, I was told I was going to be inside a beautiful blonde. But yeah, Miranda says lots of things about... Because it's a luncheon to celebrate what James Holt, what his company is evolving into. And then she says, so when James Holt needed a partner for... his company, it only seemed right that he choose from inside the Runway family. And Nigel's looking all like, oh yeah, she's gonna say me. And she goes, that's why police announced that James Holt's new partner would be my friend and esteemed colleague, Jacqueline Follet. And everyone's chins fucking hit the floor, like, what?
Yeah. And Andy's looking over at Nigel like, oh shit, yeah. Son, she did it.
And then Christian Holt looks all fucking crestfallen because that
Christian
means
Holt.
Christian Thompson, sorry.
Fucking get it right, mate.
They've all got names. And then Nigel turns to Andy and he goes, oh, when the time's right, she'll pay me back. And then she's like, are you sure about that? And he's like, I have hope. I have to. Mm. I'm like, man, that's fucking so raw.
That's brutal.
Yeah, I felt so sorry for him.
I know. You do come to really like him as a character by the end of the film.
Yeah, because he really does take her under his wing.
Yeah, in the kind of way that... in the nicest way that it's possible for someone to in that environment.
Yeah, yeah. And he does nurture. He's the reason why she kind of got as far as she did, really.
Yeah.
He sort of gave her... Because even in the beginning, he brought her those shoes without any sort of asking or anything. He just thought that they would help her, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And in the moment, that comes across as quite a bitchy thing.
Yeah.
But, like, with hindsight, by, you know, the perspective you have on that whole work environment by the end of the film, yeah, you see that it was... the kind of gesture that it was actually intended to be.
Yeah, yeah. So here we fucking get another awesome scene where Miranda and Andy get in the car to go to another like press event thing. And then Andy's like kind of, she doesn't really want to talk to Miranda because how fucking out of order she just was.
Yeah. She's like, I could never do what you did to Nigel. And she's like, you already did do it to Emily.
Yeah.
And you did have a choice, so don't pretend you didn't.
It's like you chose to get ahead. Because she's like, she knew about what was going to happen. She knew that Irv was looking at Jacqueline Follet to replace her. So she put Jacqueline... She said, it took me a little while to find something suitable for Jacqueline Follet. That James Holt job was so absurdly overpaid, she just jumped at it.
Yes, and I had a list of all the designers and writers and whoever, people in the industry, who said that they would come with me if I ever left Runway. So, and I presented that to Irv and he changed his mind on getting rid of me.
Anyway, they fucking pull up outside the place, and then Andy's like, that's because Miranda's like, you know, I was very impressed with the way you tried to warn me. I never thought I'd say this, Andy, but I see a great deal of myself in you. Then Andy's like, how? She's like, well, I put my fist in you and then take an x-ray.
Look how much of myself is in there. Do you think I can get more, Andy? And she's like, I don't want this.
Yeah. Oh, don't be ridiculous, Andrea. Everybody wants this. Oh, God. So she gets out of the car and Andy gets out the other side.
Yeah, with all the paps. Paps beers.
Oh, fucking hell. When I went to Paris, we were like walking just through Paris, and then I saw the fountain, and I was like, oh my God, that's a fountain from Different Florida. And I got so excited about it.
Did you throw your phone in it?
Imagine I got that excited.
Just like, wait, I'm going to change your name to Miranda and then call me.
But yeah, Andy starts walking away. Miranda calls her, and then she looks at it and just throws the phone in the nice fountain.
Yeah, we see Miranda sort of realise that Andy isn't there with her because she's just walked away from it.
Yeah, which I think was a stupid decision.
I think it was a stupid decision too.
Yeah. Alas, so we go back to America. Andy's got a fucking job interview, but before that, she stopped at a little cafe to have a little chinwag with Nate.
Yes, and she tells him that he was right and that she's sorry.
Anyway, so she goes to the New Yorker. And then the guy's like, you spent less than a year at Runway. What kind of a blip is that?
Yeah, what the hell kind of a blip is that? That's just such an unprofessional interview question.
But her fucking response to it is equally stupid, I think.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you know, I learned a lot, but, you know, in the end, I kind of messed it up. And I was like, you don't fucking say that in an interview.
No.
Silly trolley wallop.
Exactly.
He's like, yeah, I got a fax from Miranda Priestley herself saying that by out of all the assistants she's ever had, you had the widest gash. And if I don't hire you, I'm an idiot. You must have done something right.
Look how much of yourself you can get in there.
Wow, it's like the snake is eating the tail. Anyway, so she leaves and then phones Emily.
Gives her all her clothes.
She's like, oh, it's fucking clothes from France. Do you want them? And Emily's like, yeah.
Yes.
But she fucking sees Miranda.
Yeah,
in the building.
Catch eyes across the street.
Yeah, and Andy waves now, and Miranda just like gives her a dirty look and gets in the car.
Yeah, and then they both smile.
Yeah, I love this moment because you can tell exactly what Meryl Streep is thinking.
Yeah.
Like that, oh, look how far this girl has come from when I first saw her in the office kind of thing. Like, and she does like a little smirk and she goes, go to the driver. The driver goes, but then Andy walks across the crosswalk, gets hit by a car and she dies.
Yep.
And her monkey cycles away into the sunset, ringing his little gay bell.
The film was about his bid for freedom the whole time.
Yes, he puts on the beret he got in France and the little play baguette and puts it in his basket.
Unchains himself from Andy's dresser.
Oh, God. That's the fucking end of the film.
The end of the fucking film.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. The film and the podcast. If you only enjoyed one, then...
I hope it was the podcast.
Yeah.
But it was probably the film.
Anyway, I've been gifted.
And I've been Tom.
And I guess today, magic really has been monkey.
Yay!